Sean, let's talk about the season so far. How is it going your first year as the voice of Monday Night Football?
Well, it's been a lot of fun, as I thought it would. I mean, if you can't have fun doing Monday Night Football, then you probably can't have fun doing much. And it'd be a little more fun if we had better matchups. You know, we had a lot of games that before the season looked great on paper and then didn't quite materialize. We've had other ones that looked good heading into the game and then just were non-competitive. But, you know, this one, I think, has the likelihood of being our best game of the year, just in terms of the quality of the teams, the history of the rivalry, you know, the meaning of the game. I think it's all set up for it to be a very exciting Monday night game. But it's been a blast, to answer your question, Rich. I've really enjoyed every minute of it.
How's the process going of learning how to work with John Gruden to have another color man in the booth with you?
Yeah, it's been fun. You know, I spent a lot of time with John before the season started. We were together for some events and New York and Los Angeles. I mean, some exhibition games. I actually went down to Tampa to his home and spent a couple of days with him in his office down in Tampa, watching film and talking about philosophy of, you know, broadcasting football, what we like to do and what we don't particularly like. And, you know, I think that helped to speed up the chemistry process. But it's like anything, it really takes working with somebody in the actual game situation and seeing what makes them tick and what they're comfortable with and what they really don't like. And I think it's gone better week to week. And I really like John. He's a good guy. He's very hardworking. You know, he's really what you'd think he is watching him on TV. He's very passionate, energetic, unpredictable, funny. You know, he's been a great teammate, and I'm looking forward to working with him for a long time.
Now, you mentioned the matchups. Would you say it's a down year in the NFL, or are we just seeing perhaps teams that are more competitive?
Yeah, I think, you know, the old adage about parity in the NFL being the goal, if that's the goal, I think they've really achieved it pretty well. You know, I don't think there are really any teams that stand out ahead of the pack. Dallas has the best record, but I don't think anybody would have a hard time understanding if you tried to argue that the Patriots were better or Oakland was better or Kansas City's better. You know, I think Seattle, there's a lot of teams you could make the argument that might be better than Dallas. So, yeah, I do think, you know, there's not as many clearly outstanding teams. Yeah, I think some of the marquee players, when you're talking about, you know, Peyton Manning retiring and, you know, Tom Brady missing the first four games of the year, and J.J. Watt's been injured a lot of the year. Cam Newton hasn't had a very good year. You know, it's I think there's a lot of things that factor into it. But, yeah, for the most part, I think parity's good. I just think it seems to be one of those years that, for whatever reason, a lot of the matchups have been pretty draft. Now, I think that's been changing in recent weeks. I mean, the last two Thursday night games, Dallas, Minnesota, the game last night, Oakland and Kansas City, you know, those are really good games. Our game this week, I think, is the best matchup we will have had this year. So, and I think looking at the schedules ahead, you know, there are a lot of exciting games left. You know, our last game right after Christmas is Detroit and Dallas, and that could be a hugely meaningful game for both teams. So, you know, they say things tend to even out over time, and I think that might be what's happening right now with the NFL TV schedule.
From your perspective, is Dallas the most surprising team so far this year?
Yeah, I think from a pleasant surprise standpoint, definitely. You know, I think the big question for them in the preseason, we did their first exhibition game, and it was really from almost play one of the first exhibition game when they played the Rams in Los Angeles that you could see that Dak Prescott was poised to, you know, fare better than I think anybody would have anticipated that he would. You know, Ezekiel Elliott obviously has been a huge impact rookie. That doesn't really surprise me that much, particularly because both of those guys are playing behind a great offensive line. I think it's the best offensive line in the league, and I think offensive line play is critical. You know, there are some pretty decent teams that just have terrible offensive lines and are struggling. You know, and I think a team like Oakland has had, obviously, a considerable success this year, largely because they have an excellent offensive line. I think the Patriots' offensive line has played better this year than it's played in recent years. So, you know, I'm surprised only because I thought back to the summer that Dallas's defense would really struggle. And yeah, I think they play better than expected, but I also think they've been protected by the fact that the offense has been so good at controlling the ball and controlling the clock and getting a lead and making their opponents get a little more one-dimensional and having to throw as they play from behind. So I think the Cowboys are a really good example of a team playing good complementary football where all three units of it fit together very well.
We're talking with Sean McDonough here on Downtown. When games have not been great this season, you have not been shy about saying that. Is your honesty appreciated by those that signed the paycheck?
Well, nobody said otherwise yet. I think so. I mean, I don't think I've changed just because I got this job and it's higher profile than what I've been doing before. You know, I think when these guys hired me, they knew what they were getting. And, you know, I've always tried to be as honest and candid as I can without being, you know, looking to be controversial or needlessly critical or in any way calling attention to myself. You know, I don't think I'm a bomb tosser. I just try to be as honest and objective as I can and try to gear my commentary toward what I think the people at home are thinking about or talking about as they're watching the game. So, you know, that's what I do. And yeah, I don't think I've really said that much that was particularly courageous. I know Forbes said I was the bravest man in broadcasting, and as much as I appreciate that, I'm not sure I'm really worthy of that. But I think if situations dictate, whether it's officiating, coaching, playing, whatever the case may be, you know, it's our job to point those things out. And I think I have the full support and understanding of my bosses in that.
Well, let's talk about this matchup on Monday night. On paper, it looks like a very good one. There doesn't seem to be a team in the league that isn't flawed in some way this year, and the Patriots' defense hasn't played perhaps as well as they thought it would. Now without Rob Gronkowski, what do you see as the keys for the Patriots-Ravens on Monday?
Yeah, I think you touched on some of it. Yeah, I think the Ravens have, you know, clearly been playing their best football lately, particularly last week when the offense came to life and they scored. They really dominated the game against Miami. I watched that entire tape, and you know, from the very first drive of the football game when they marched very easily down the field, you know, they went up and down the field and they totally stuffed a Miami team that had been running the ball very well during their six-game winning streak. So yeah, I think they're a very good team, and they're, you know, they're healthy. They're extremely well coached. Obviously, you know, they have a history of being able to come up here to Foxborough and win. So I don't think they'll be intimidated coming into Gillette Stadium, even on a Monday night, thinking they don't have a chance. I think, you know, there are probably teams that come up here and don't think they have much of a chance when they arrive. The Ravens aren't that kind of team. So yeah, I think when it's a game that seems to be pretty evenly matched, it's usually the same things as always. You know, it's not turning the ball over, who makes plays in special teams, and getting off the field in third down situations. You know, Baltimore's been the best defense in the league at getting off the field on third down, and I think if they're going to be successful, they're going to have to continue to do that, not let Tom and that offense kind of methodically march down the field. But I do think without Gronkowski, it's going to take a more methodical approach, because obviously he was the guy who was, you know, most capable of giving the Patriots these big chunk plays that are likely not to be as prevalent without him on the field.
Sean, I'm a teacher in my day job. You're a proud Syracuse graduate. What was it about your education at Syracuse that made it so good and has enabled you to be so successful?
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I'm very proud of Syracuse, and I think one of the most important things that ever happened to me in my life was going to Syracuse. A lot of the great opportunities up there really came outside of the school. The curriculum was great. You got a lot of wonderful instruction. And, you know, they emphasize the liberal arts core. They make you spend the first 2 years of your 4 years up there, you know, studying all the liberal arts subjects. So they want you to be well-rounded as you head out into the world of journalism. But I had a great opportunity to get a lot of experience outside of the classroom. You know, student radio, professional radio and TV up there, the chance to broadcast minor league baseball for a AAA baseball team for 3 years while I was in school was really a big head start. So I think the benefit of Syracuse was as much the opportunities that you get outside of the classroom, because the school, the communication school, the Newhouse School, is so well respected within the community up there that they hire students because they think the students are talented and capable and will do a good job if they give them the opportunity to be on the air. So I think a lot of us have gotten a head start that we otherwise wouldn't have had if we had gone someplace else.
I like what you said, too, because I often, when young broadcasters ask me questions, I talk about the need to be well-rounded and to learn things other than just your sport and just the sports world, that the more you know, the more you read, the more you pay attention to, the more interesting you'll be as a broadcaster.
I think that's true. You know, as much as I got into I loved sports, I really got into this more because it was a way to be involved with sports and have it be at the center of my professional life than I did because of broadcasting or wanting to be a TV or radio person or a quote-unquote celebrity. So, you know, I think the opportunity to be around sports is what I enjoy most about it, but it still doesn't mean that you shouldn't have a working knowledge of other things. And you know, my minor was political science, and I'm glad that it was. I was interested in that at the time, and I still am. But I think with that as your focus, you're more likely to kind of keep up with what's happening in the world because I've always had an interest in that. So, you know, I think I chose my minor well, too. It kind of married well to what it is that I wanted to do professionally.
So Monday night, coming back home, in a sense, to the place you grew up, to the team that your dad was so closely tied to. You've talked with us about watching Monday Night Football with him as a kid. What will that experience be like for you on Monday evening?
I think it's going to be very emotional. When, you know, I got hired, as you and I discussed a few months ago, you know, the first thing I thought about was my dad. When they offered me the job, I got choked up just thinking about him and those great days when I was a kid. Staying up extra late on a school night to watch Monday Night Football was just quality time with Dad. And I think a lot of my interest in sports and in doing this really came from watching games with him and being engaged in conversation about the game with him and about the announcing, about the officiating, coaching, whatever the case may be, sort of where my inquisitive mind came from, and I think that of my siblings as well. And you know, the other great memories were, as you said, because of my dad's connection to the team and covering the Patriots really from day one in 1960, you know, going down to that, the old stadium, Foxborough Stadium, Sullivan Schaefer Stadium, you know, so many times as a kid. I think I went to just about every Patriots home game for many, many years. So it was always exciting driving down Route 1, getting to that point where you could see the stadium and knew you were close in the anticipation of the game. And I was such a big fan that I just loved those Patriots teams that, you know, and then waiting for the game to be over and getting in the car with my dad and driving back and listening to what he had to say about the game and him asking us what we thought about the game. And, you know, it's just great memories. So I'm sure heading down Route 1 again, I'll be really emotional because, you know, I had a lot of great days as a kid down there in Foxborough, and I think it would mean an awful lot to my dad that his son was broadcasting a Monday Night Football game for the, you know, involving the Patriots in Foxborough. It's going to be awesome. Very emotional.
Well, I know a lot of us in New England, as excited as we are about the game, we're very excited for you as well. It's nice to see the good guys win every once in a while.
Well, I appreciate that, Rich. You've always been incredibly kind, and I really appreciate that. And, you know, it's been kind of fun that I know there are some people around here. I remember when I got the job, I was on a radio station here in Boston, and one of the hosts asked me, do you think they hired you in part because they know that New England is really upset with ESPN about Deflategate and their coverage of it, and maybe they're trying to make us happy by putting a New Englander in the Monday Night Football booth? So I don't think that had anything to do with it, but if that's one of the reasons why they gave you the opportunity, then I'm grateful for it. But the fact that people around here seem to think it's cool that one of their own is doing this is certainly part of the enjoyment of the job for me.
Well, we're looking forward to it on Monday night. Sean, as always, thanks so much for making time for us. Good luck Monday and through the rest of the season, and have a wonderful Christmas as well.
Yeah, you too, Rich. Merry Christmas to you and your listeners, and thank you very much for your many kindnesses over the years. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.